We all sound good today. We are awake and we are alive, and it is a good day to be here and to worship God this morning. So, band, thank you guys so much for helping set the stage for us to get us into that place where we are prepared to hear a word from the Lord. We're really glad that you're here. If this is your first time with us, inside your bulletin, there's a page of some notes that you might want to follow along, some blanks that you could fill in if you're an interactive learner like I am. And that also gives you something to take home and to think about and reflect about, because what I hope really happens is the message that I share with you, God's word that I feel that God wants me to share with you, I hope that it doesn't stop here, but this is the starting place so that you can use it going into your next week and beyond, because scripture itself tells us that God's word has a purpose. It's there to correct us and to teach us and to guide us and direct us into right living, into what a right relationship with God looks like. So that's why we do this. We want to discover who this God is and what kind of a life he wants us to live, and the abundant life that he has in store for us as we submit our lives and our loves to him. And so that's why we just want it to ripple out. We want it to continue to reverb in our lives way beyond this morning. Well, we are in the midst of a message series that I've just simply entitled DNA, Who We Are in Christ. Because who we are in Christ really is different than who we were not in Christ. 2 Corinthians tells us that in Christ we have become a new creation. The old is gone and the new is here. And so there's something dynamic, there is something spectacular, there's something miraculous that happens to us when we come into this relationship with Jesus. It's not just about coming to church, it's not just about singing, it's not just about kind of the facade of being a Christian, but it's about what happens deep inside of us that just literally spills out into every aspect of our lives. That we are Christian through and through when we come to faith in Christ. And so part of that new creation is we should be looking at how were we and how should we be? What were we and what are we now in Christ? Because that, my friends, is what the world desperately needs to see. They need to see Christians who are alive and vibrant in their faith so that they look at us and say, there is something that you got that I don't. And I not only want that, I need that because my life is a wreck. I need it. And so we have this job, so to speak, to be contagious and outrageous with our faith, that we might point others to Jesus, that we might point others to this faith that makes a difference, not just in the other side of eternity, but in this side of eternity, attempting to fulfill that prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, that the kingdom of God would come on earth as it is in heaven. And so God wants to use us to do that. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how we in Christ are gifted to serve. But before we get there, let me just remind you of where we are, because we're looking at, you know, like the DNA, like who are we at the most basic level? And one of the things we looked at a couple weeks ago was the thing that we all have in common. Every single one of us who ever was, ever is, or ever will be, I would call that just our universal common DNA. It's just simply this. We are loved. We are loved by God. No matter who we are, where we've been, what we've done, what we are doing, what we will yet do, the foundational place to begin is acknowledging the fact that our God is crazy in love with us. As a matter of fact, we're told in Galatians 1, 4, and 5 that even before he made the world, get that, even before he made this world, God loved us and chose us to be holy and without fault in his eyes. That God decided in advance he decided to adopt us into his family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And I love this. It says, this is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Imagine that. That before you were even an apple in the eye of your mother, like, God knew you, because he is the one who created you. And he loved you from the very beginning. And it's his desire that you come into this relationship with him so that we get adopted into his family. And that's the same for every person. There are 6 billion people on the face of the, 7 billion people on the face of the planet, give or take. Do you know how many of those people are loved by God? Every single one. And that's the common thing that every person, every human being has in common, is that we are all loved by God. But then what happens when we come to faith in Christ? What are some of the things that distinguish us, that make us unique, that make us different? What are the things that set us apart as followers of Jesus that makes this faith in Jesus so attractive, again, that other people see what we got and they not only want it, but they need it? Last week, we talked about one of the unique Christian DNA facets is that we are forgiven by God. That in Christ, we are forgiven. That means our sin is not held against us. That means no matter what we've done, that when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, through that trust and through that belief, we are forgiven of our sin. Every single one of them. Romans 3:21 and 22 says that God has shown us a way to be made right in his sight. Isn't that great? We don't have to like figure it out. That's one of the things I love about the Bible. People say, oh, it's so hard. It's really not that hard. Most of it is like so just, it is what it is just by looking at it. And this is one of those verses that God just tells us how to be made right in his sight. And we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Isn't that good news? Can you say yes? Yes. That we are all forgiven in Christ. Now, not in Christ, we're not forgiven. And we face the consequence of our sin. But in Christ, in this relationship with Jesus, in this relationship with God who has revealed himself, we are forgiven. We are made right with him. So that not only affects our eternity, but it affects today. So that we might begin to experience the abundant life that God has for us. And then Luke 24:47. There is forgiveness of sin for all who repent. For all. And the angels were singing. And they would be singing because that is great news. But actually, our kids are learning some music to sing on Easter. It's going to be really fun. So Jonathan's back there jamming with the little ones right now. So there is forgiveness for everyone who repents. And the best translation of the original language that we have in the New Testament, which is Greek, of everyone, is just simply that, everyone, for everyone who repents. So we have this unique Christian DNA that we are forgiven by God. So today, what we're going to talk about is another aspect of our unique DNA that is actually specific to each one of us, that makes us unique in and of ourselves. So we have this idea that we're all loved by God, that we are all forgiven in Christ. Then the next kind of layer is that we are created to serve. We are gifted to serve. And that's unique for every person. And that's what we're going to spend some time talking about this morning. What does it mean to be gifted to serve? And so what we're really going to be talking about are what we call spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts of how God has uniquely wired us when we come to faith in Christ to make a difference. How he has uniquely wired us to make a contribution. Because here's the deal. There are no spectators in the Christian faith. None. Not a one. There are no spectators. We all have a job to do, and we are all gifted with at least one spiritual gift to make a difference, to make a contribution in the body of Christ or the church. And here's the deal. If you or anyone else professes Christ and is not living their gift, then something of God's is missing. Because what we're going to see is that God distributes the gifts. And so God has a purpose for the gifts. And God puts you in a place to use your gifts. And so if all the gifts aren't being used, then something of God's is missing. The metaphor that Paul, the Apostle Paul, actually uses is he talks about the body. He does this in a couple places. And one of the things that he says, he tries to paint this really vivid picture. He says, so can the hand say to the body, I don't need you? Can the eye say, hey, I got another one, I don't need you? No. And his idea is that we all have a place. And so we're going to talk this morning about how we as followers of Jesus have a unique and special gift to serve. So the question is, spiritual gifts, what are they? I'm so glad that you asked, because I have a definition for you. Spiritual gifts are divine, that means they come from God. Supernatural abilities, that means we're just not natural for us. So there's supernatural abilities given by God to enable Christians to serve and to minister. So spiritual gifts are divine supernatural abilities given by God to enable Christians to serve and to minister. We might also say that they're our tool. Each one of us, they're our tool that we have to serve and to minister in the body of Christ. Now, spiritual gifts are referred to in many, many places throughout Scripture. There's no one list that's completely exhaustive, because our God is a creative God. And that means God creates and designs each one of us uniquely. We are all unrepeatable miracles of God, fashioned by the very hand of God to make a difference in the world. And so we're going to look at some of the places that we see this idea of spiritual gifts referred to in Scripture. Again, they're referred to in the Old Testament, they're referred to in the New Testament, but we're going to look specifically this morning as a kind of a platform to jump from three areas where we see spiritual gifts specifically referred to. The first of those is in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. Romans 12, 4 through 8, and you can see it up here, it's in your notes, you can follow along in your Bible. Look what the Apostle Paul writes. He says, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, which means he gets to decide, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is encouraging others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you the leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Then we jump over to 1 Corinthians 12, 27, where Paul once again reiterates the fact that all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is part of it. Again, who is the Apostle Paul writing to? He's writing to Christians. So he's saying, all of you who have put your faith in Jesus, you are part of his body, and each of you is a part of it, and each of you has a job to do. And then we jump over to 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All power and glory to him forever and ever. Amen. So let's break it down a little bit. Let's answer a few questions. First question, spiritual gifts, where do they come from? They come from the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. They come from God. He decides what they are, and he decides who gets them. So who gets them? Every Christian. Every Christian gets, according to Scripture, at least one spiritual gift. Some are given more, but again, the Holy Spirit gets to decide that. We don't. Like, I would love to have this spiritual gift like Jonathan has. I would love to be able to play that guitar and lead people into the presence of God. And just like, I would love to have that gift. But so far, God said, no. I can ask, but he gets to decide. But aren't you grateful that we have people that do that? Yeah. So where do they come from? The Holy Spirit. Who gets them? Every Christian. Why? Because together we are part of God's divine plan. We, together, are part of God's divine plan. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. So we, together, the church, the body of Christ, are part of God's plan for redeeming the world. We, the part of the body of Christ, are part of God's plan for bringing faith to our world. We, the body of Christ, are part of God's plan for changing our world. We're not just part of the plan, but we're to be used for his purpose. We're to be used for his purpose. Matthew 16:18. Now I, Jesus, say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. A couple things in there. First of all, we see that the church, that is not our idea. That is God's. God is the one who designed the church. The Greek word is ekklesia, which means the called out, the gathered. We're called out, we're gathered to be sent out, to gather. And so God has called us out. He has created this thing, this entity, this living organism called the church. That is supposed to do something. We have a purpose. We don't just gather for worship. We don't just gather to do. We gather to be equipped to go into the world, to make a difference, to share the good news. That's why we call it gospel. Gospel literally means good news of Jesus Christ. That through faith in Christ, we have forgiveness of our sins. We're made right with God. That we become new creations in Christ. The old is gone, the new is here. And we have the possibility for this amazing new future. So God has chosen to make us, his people, his ambassadors, part of his plan and part of his purpose. Because he has this mission. God has this strategic, singularly focused mission. And we see it in Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. That's God's mission. It's like to reach the people who are lost. What does it mean to be lost? Lost means that you do not have a relationship with Jesus. Lost means the trajectory of your life is not towards heaven. Lost means apart from Jesus, you are in sin. And if you are in sin, you are in death. And God does not want that. The very beginning, God created us to live with him in paradise. And we messed that up and we continue to mess that up. But God continues to try to redeem that, to restore that. And he wants to use us. Listen. He wants to use you. He wants to use all of us who profess the name of Jesus to make a difference. Because together, we are the body of Christ. Together, we are part of God's plan to be used for his purpose to achieve his mission. And every part is essential. So when I hear people say, well, you know, I can be a Christian, but I don't need to go to church. No. You can't. Because at best guess estimates, we have somewhere around 30 spiritual gifts. You don't got all those. Nobody does. And we need all those gifts to make up the body of Christ. And if you're not using your gift in the body of Christ, then something of God's is missing. And if something of God's is missing in the body of Christ, then we're not as effective as we could be and should be. So can you be a Christian and not go to church? No, you can't. You might be able to start that way, but it sure won't last very long. Because the forces against God in our world are pretty strong. And so we need to be in the church. And we need people in the church who see and know what their gifts are to serve in ministries that make a difference in our community, in our state, in our country, literally around the world. Because God has gifted each of us with spiritual gifts. So why did he do that? Why did God give believers spiritual gifts? Again, Ephesians 4:16 says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Why did God give us these gifts? So that we could be healthy and full and growing and full of love, so that the church becomes so attractive to the unbelieving world that they're like, man, they got something in that place that I don't got. And I need that. And so we've got to be this place that all of our gifts are working in this incredible harmony, so that we can truly achieve the things that God has designed for us to do. So why did God give believers spiritual gifts? Several reasons. Number one, to glorify God. He gave us these gifts so we could glorify him, so we could recognize him for who he is. That he created us, he was uniquely designed, each one of us. It shows how creative and how excellent God is, so that we might point others to who this God is that we worship. Because our goal ultimately is to glorify God in all that we do. And so he gave us these gifts that we could glorify him. And we most glorify God when we were serving as God has created us. And so he gave us these spiritual gifts to glorify him. He also gave us these gifts to build up the body of Christ. To build us up, to make us strong. Number three, to be unified. He gave us these gifts recognizing that the church is like this puzzle. And each piece is different. But each piece is important because one piece connects to another piece that connects to another piece that connects to another piece that paints this beautiful portrait. What happens when you are working on a puzzle and you get all the way to the end and you are missing one piece? Besides going and making all the pieces go flying, right? Besides doing this all out search, you're like, he's got to be here. It is in the couch cushions. It is under the chair. It is someplace. It's just got to be somewhere. But what happens if it's missing? If it's missing, then a piece of that picture is incomplete. And it's the same way with our gifts. That we need each one of those pieces to put together this beautiful, unified picture of the body of Christ. He gives us these gifts to, number four, to develop maturity in the body of Christ. The mission of our church from the very beginning has been very simple: to make more and stronger followers of Jesus Christ. That's our mission. Jesus said he came to seek and to save the lost. That's what ours is. We just word it a little differently. We exist to make more and stronger followers of Jesus. In other words, we want people to come to faith in Jesus, but we don't want that faith to stop. We just want it to keep going deeper and deeper and deeper and getting stronger and getting stronger, so that our faith literally looks like those redwood trees. That the strongest wind is not going to be able to blow those down because those roots go so deep. And that's why we have to develop these spiritual gifts. Because we got to develop maturity in our body, because we got to go stronger in our relationship with Christ, because there are lots of forces out there seeking to pull us apart. I mean, Jesus said, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Do you know that that is actually stated in the offensive, not the defensive? We read that and we think, hey, we're going to stand strong. That's not what it says. When he says the gates of hell will not prevail against it, that means that we are in the offensive. That means we as the church, as the body of Christ, we are seeking to take this world for Jesus. And in order to take this world for Jesus, we got to know what our part is. And we got to strengthen our piece of the part. We've got to be unified. We got to develop maturity so that we're stronger and we're smarter and we can withstand the things that come before us. And that means that, number five, we have to grow the body of Christ. That's grow numerically, and it's also growing in maturity. But God has given us these gifts so we can grow the body of Christ, so we can be a bigger church. Again, a bigger church in the sense of we're reaching more people for Jesus. That's why we do what we do. We get some estimates that say something like, if every church in every city went to multiple services and packed out their facilities the most they could, we would only be able to reach about a quarter of the number of people today. And so we've got to find new and exciting and innovative ways to reach people for Jesus, because it matters. Because people matter. Bill Hybels coined the phrase that lost people matter to God. And if they matter to God, they should matter to us. And so we've got to do everything that we can. So we got to grow the body of Christ. We got to grow the church so we are stronger, we are more unified, so we can do those things that God has called us to do. And he's given us the spiritual gifts, number six, for the common good of the body of Christ. It's just for the common good. Things work better. We work better when we are discovering and developing and deploying our spiritual gifts. We just work better. It works better for the good. It means that we take care of more people. It means that we accomplish more ministry. It means that our footprint in this community is actually bigger. It means that we're making a difference in our workplaces, in our school, in our families, in our communities, that we're making a difference. And what the church can do is good. Has the church done everything right in 2,000 years? Man, it hasn't. But God created it. God continues to renew and to restore and to redeem it. And God continues to use it to achieve his purposes. So we should do our part. And that's the next part. So how do we figure it out? Like, how do we figure out how God has uniquely gifted me? How has God uniquely gifted you so that you can make a difference in our world? Well, I've got several things that I think that you could do to help you discover how God has uniquely gifted you. I think first and foremost is to seek God's direction. Man, we just got to pray. That's where we got to start. Like, God, how do you want to use me? You know, the prophet Isaiah said, not my will, but yours, oh God. You know, how do we do that? How do we say, God, I want to seek you. And it's in that seeking that we discover what God's plan is for us. We do that through things like prayer and Bible study and guidance and mentorship with people who are stronger in their faith than we are. We do that through intentionally prioritizing our faith, because faith, growth in faith, does not happen by osmosis. It happens by intentionality, by us making the decisive decision to grow in our faith. That's how it happens. And that is actually how it happens exponentially. Is that when we prioritize it and we make the decision to grow in our relationship with Christ. So how do we develop our spiritual gifts? First thing we do is we seek God. We just pray and say, God, how have you wired me? What do you want me to do? Number two, we can identify our spiritual gifts. I'm going to talk about that in a couple minutes, but I have a couple of resources for you that are some assessments that are going to help you to do some like self-awareness, some self-assessments to discover how God has uniquely wired you. So we're going to have at the end of our worship time this morning, after we take our offering and sing a song and we pray and do all those things, and when we go to leave this place, you see in the back, there are two stations that say gifted to serve. And back there are a couple of tools for you, and again, I'm going to talk about those in just a second, to help you assess how God has uniquely wired you. And so what my hope and my prayer today is that those will all be taken. So that if you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, if you don't know how God has uniquely wired you, that you might be able to take this inventory and see how God has uniquely wired you again. But we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. So we seek God's direction and we identify our giftedness. Number three, we try and experiment. That means we just try different things. Like maybe being in Kids Point. You love kids? Maybe helping kids is a great place for you. When we first started 14 years ago, a missionary couple that we had come to our church, he was a vice president in a bank. And you would think, right, where would he want to be used? finance, right? Like helping us figure out all the data and all that kind of stuff. No, he wanted to work with our kids. Because he just had this passion for kids and he was really good at it. And so we've got to try and identify places. We got to experiment to see kind of where would be a good place for me to fit. Where's my place to make a contribution? Some of those things are behind the scenes, like our cleaning team. Some of those things are out front, like here, teaching. Others are just like others. So we're going to help you try to identify what some of those are. Number four is to eliminate the gifts that you know are not you. And you might want to ask somebody to help you with that one, right? Because sometimes we have some self-awareness issues, right? And so sometimes we need somebody else to say, hey, am I any good at that? And we need like you can tell that people lie. Just watch American Idol, right? Right? You can see that people lie. Why? Why would you like, why don't those people have like friends that go, don't go on that show? Because you can't sing. Oh, I guess now it's The Voice, right? You know, and you just see them and they're sitting on the side. They're like, turn the chair, turn the chair. And we're sitting in our living, Jen and I like to watch the show. We're sitting in our living going, they are not turning their chair on that one. Like, how did they get through on that one? And so we've got to figure out, you know, we've got to just figure out what we're good at and what we're not good at. And we should eliminate those things that we're not good at. Besides just not being good at them, they will also drain us. You see, here's an insight. When we're serving in the area that we're gifted, we're energized. We can see it. Like, now, they're not here for us to watch them. For instance, our folks that help us by singing, they're here to help lead us into the presence of God. But can you look at their faces and be like, man, they're energized. Because they believe it and they live in it and they are living out of their giftedness. And brings you joy, doesn't it, Martha? Unbelievable joy. So we got to eliminate those gifts that maybe aren't for us. And then number five, we evaluate our ministry effectiveness. We should be looking at it and say, wow, is my ministry producing fruit? In what I do, is what I'm doing, is that making a difference? And so we just kind of evaluate, you know, what contribution am I making? Some of those are really clear. Sometimes the evaluation is a little bit tough because your gift might not be an area that's true evaluation because, for instance, you might just have the gift of helps or the gift of service. And so you're just making a contribution. But for others, it might be a place that you need to evaluate your ministry effectiveness. So, how do we determine, develop, and deploy our spiritual gifts? We seek God's direction. We identify our gifts. We try and experiment. We eliminate the gifts that we know are not for us, and we evaluate our ministry effective. So here's the application phase. And this is how today is a little bit different message than others because I'm giving you a homework assignment should you choose to take it this morning. So in the back, on the two tables on each side, I have two different assessment instruments for you. The first one is a personality preference assessment. It's this pretty like salmon color kind of deal. And this is a pretty cool little tool. It's very simple. It's an exercise that you go with like your gut, your feeling. There are four questions that you will answer and you will plot your answers in this little four box quadrant here. And this is really fun because it asks questions like, I most prefer to work with people or projects. In other words, do you like direct people contact or do you like tasks, systems, and events? The next question is, I work best in situations that are either planned or progressive. Do you like structure and organization, or are you like free flow in heaven? You're the creative person. You're like, do not box me in with instructions. Just let me create. The next one is, I most prefer to work in situations that I can be precise. Like, it's not 10, it's 10.2. Right? It's not, oh, it's about 5. No, it's 4.7. So are you a precise or playful? In other words, do you like your work situation to be highly spirited and creative? And you're just like, man, I had the opportunity when I was in seminary that I spent a month touring the Western United States, putting on a play with six of my friends from seminary called No Compromise. And we had done something similar to this, and we figured out how each one of us was wired. And I was pretty much the, okay, this goes here, and let's move it. Let's line it up. It's like boom, 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 and it's going to look really good. And because we had these creative people, it's like, oh, just put it over here, and we'll go over here, you know, kind of do. Because those people drove me nuts. Right? And so the cool thing was we did something like this ahead of time, which knew, I'm like, back off my area. Because we'll walk into a church and I've got to figure it out. Okay, how is it designed? Okay, we're going to put our screens up here and here and here. And if you come over and say, but George, why don't we go? Like, no, I don't need you. Just, I got this down. And that's the way I'm wired. I like that. I like that precise. But interesting, the older I get, I've gotten much more playful. So I can work in those kind of fluid, but don't get too fluid with me. Or you or I will have to step away. The next one is I prefer situations in which I can be pioneering or patterned. Are you like an entrepreneur? You like, man, I like to create. I like to go to new things. I'm a pioneer. Or are you like the pattern that it's very established and stable? And so this is a really fun instrument that all you can do is you're going to figure out each one of those four things, and you're going to put your answers right in those little boxes. And that's going to give you like this high level, just what's your personality preference? Because that's going to help you to know what might be an area that you are particularly gifted to work in. Like if you are, it might point out that, man, you need to audition for our band back here because you just like love that. Or it may be like, I'm cleaning team. I can use the key, get in when I want to. I'll clean everything. It's going to look really nice. I walk away and it was great, right? So you can figure out where God, kind of got how God has wired your personality because each one of us is unique. So that's one tool that I want to encourage you to do. The other is a spiritual gifts experience assessment. This, I have done so many of these, and several folks in our church have done them. And what you need for this is you need this green packet and you need this answer score sheet. There are 137 questions that you will answer in here. And what this is kind of just a self-awareness. What are the areas that you think that you are particularly more likely describing you? Definitely true about you. So for instance, the first question is, I can coordinate people, tasks, and events to meet a need. And you're going to record on here whether you are a 3, which means consistently, definitely, that is so true about me, 2, most of the time, 1, some of the time, or 0, not at all. And so you're going to go through this, 137 questions, sounds like a lot, but it's actually really pretty fast. And you're going to put your scores all on here, and then add these numbers down, and you're going to have numbers across this bottom row right here. And what this is designed to do is for you to pick the top 3. The top 3. Which ones did you score the highest in? And that is going to be an indicator of what might be your spiritual gifts. And then based on this letter right here, it's really cool because in the back of this packet, it says spiritual gift definitions and scripture references. You're going to discover, gosh, I might have the spiritual gift for administration, craftsmanship, creative communication, encouragement, faith, giving, helps, hospitality, intercession, leadership, mercy, apostleship, prophecy, evangelism, shepherding, teaching, discernment, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, healing, interpretation, miracles, tongues. And you're going to see how God might have just wired you. And then here's what you do. You deploy those. So you do those two instruments, you kind of look around at our church and be like, where might be a great place for me to serve? And I would love to talk with you about that. If you're like, okay, I've done this and I've kind of got these, where might be a good place for me to serve? I would love to talk with you. Or people who oversee ministry teams would love to talk with you. If it's directed towards this area, Jonathan would love to talk to you. If it's directed towards kids, Wendy would love to talk with you. If it's directed towards youth, Mark and Susan would love to talk to you. If it's missions, anything like that, Amy Dietrich would love to talk with you. If it's just another area of the church, if you like creative communication, Stacey Zilke and Shannon Driscoll would love to talk with you. You see their gift put on display every week for us, how they creatively communicate the gospel. And so these are tools that you can use to try to figure out how God has wired you. Because here's how we just break it all down. Every gift matters. And if you are a believer in Jesus, we need your gift. And you need your gift. You need to live your gift and love your gift, because that is what will bring you energy. That is how you, yes, you, every single one of us, will do our part to make a difference so that, yes, the kingdom of God would come on earth as it is in heaven. Because God has this plan, and he wants to use us. He has a purpose, and he's chosen to use the church to do that. And God has a mission to seek and save the lost. Because the heart from Jesus is not good. And we have a word for those people. We have hope for those people. We have an answer for those people, and it's Jesus. Lost people matter to God, and they definitely matter to us. So we need to do our part to make a difference, to reach people for Jesus. Will you do your part? If you profess Jesus, will you do your part? Because every part's important. Let's pray. God, you have not only called us, but you have gifted us to make a difference in this world. You have gifted us, each and every one of us, as believers in Jesus, to make a difference in our world, to reach our world with the good news, with the gospel, that lives would be changed for today and for eternity. And so, God, I pray that as many in our church, my prayer would be all, God, but many in our church would begin the journey to discover how you have uniquely wired each one of us. God, that we would not only discover what our gifted areas are, but we would develop those just like we'd work out. But we'd develop those, and then we'd deploy those in ministry so that together, we would do our part. That we do our part to help you achieve your plan and your purpose and your mission. So make us faithful, oh God. Give us wisdom, give us insight, give us encouragement. Nudge us if necessary, as together we reach the world for Jesus. And we will give you thanks, and we will give you honor, and we will give you praise for all that you have done and all that you are doing and all that you will yet do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.